Welcome to Under the Dome, the State Journal Register podcast on all things state government and politics. I'm editor Angie Muse, and I'm here with State House reporter Doug Finke and political writer Bernie Schoenberg. Doug, a lot going on in the legal front regarding AFSCME, the state's largest labor union this week.
Yeah, on at least three different fronts. First of all, and the big thing that everyone is watching is the Janus case before the U.S. Supreme Court. Mark Janus is a state employee. He's a fair share union member, which means he doesn't pay the full union dues. He only pays for the part that supposedly pays to for contract negotiations and other representation like that. Yet he still objects to paying even that amount. It said it's a violation of his speech rights. So he has filed a lawsuit to get out of paying free fair share dues. That's before the Supreme Court. It's been argued. We're waiting any day now for a ruling on that. We recorded this on Thursday. There was some speculation the court might rule today, but they have not. So the next chance for that is on Monday. Of course, the unions, even though there's no ruling yet, they pretty much anticipate, because of the conservative makeup of the Supreme Court, that they're going to lose on this. And if they do, then there's a question of just how much damage that is going to do to the unions, because there's fear that it could financially cripple them if large numbers of employees no longer are required to pay any kind of dues whatsoever for that. The second case that AFSCME was involved with involves their contract with the state of Illinois. The last contract AFSCME had expired in June of 2015, and they've been negotiating. They negotiated for 67 days back, both before and after the contract expired. Never reached an agreement. The state declared that they were at impasse, which gives the state the authority to impose its own contract terms. And AFSCME said, well, wait a minute. We are still willing to negotiate. We don't think we're at impasse. They went to court to block this declaration of impasse, and it's been slowly working its way through the courts ever since. It was before the appeals court this last week, and again, the state made their argument that we tried to reach an agreement. We think things are just deadlocked. We can't go any further. Therefore, we should have a declaration of impasse. The union said, again, no, we're willing to negotiate. So you can't do that. So it'll probably be another couple of months before the appellate court rules, and then in all likelihood, whichever side loses at the appellate court level will then take it to the Supreme Court for the final word on that case. And the third thing, if people are keeping score at home, is the step increase issue for AFSCME members. When the last contract expired, the Rauner administration stopped awarding step increases to AFSCME members. These are increases, automatic raises that people get in the first 8 to 10 years of their careers. The idea is if they can rely on these steady raises, they'll be less likely to quit state government, and that helps provide some stability to the workforce. The Rauner administration said with no contract, we don't keep paying those things. And the union said there's a provision in labor law that you maintain the status quo while a new contract is negotiated, which means that they should have continued to pay these step increases. Again, this ended up in court. The administration lost. The last ruling from the court was that the State Labor Relations Board should come up with some mechanism to get this money out to these workers who are owed it, and it's estimated to be more than $400 million. The Rauner administration had sought to have additional hearings by an administrative law judge before they developed this plan. The union said that that was just a stalling tactic and fought against that. And this last week, the Labor Relations Board said, we're not going to have further hearings. We're going to appoint a compliance officer to come up with a plan to get this money out.
But once again, probably nothing that's going to be settled anytime quickly.
Probably not. And the other interesting thing about this is when they did the budget this year, the lawmakers did put $63 million in the budget to pay some back wages that have been due to AFSCME members going back to 2011 that were not paid by the Quinn administration and have never been paid since. So they're finally going to take care of this bill. But they pointedly said they did not put money in the budget to pay these step increases because the issue was still unresolved by the state labor board. So even if they come up with a compliance plan, I think there would be a question then whether there's an appropriation authority to actually pay the money out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, of course, where it comes from, also another matter.
$400 million is not cheap.
And I suppose we could add about the Janus case that Governor Rauner really kind of initiated that case in his first year in office and then had to find a state employee to take it over, someone who had legal standing in the case as an employee.
Right, he was thrown out as a plaintiff, yeah.
But if the Janus case, you know, comes out against the unions, the governor has said that could well be his greatest accomplishment because it'll change labor law across the country.
Absolutely. That would be a big win for him in his first term. Speaking of other employment issues, a lot going on with the continued fallout from the Me Too surrounding Mike Madigan's office, both in the Speaker's office and the State Democratic Party. Bernie, tell us about the job that's vacant as executive director of the party.
Well, Elena Hampton said that she wants to be the new Tim Mapes. This came out in a story, I don't know how many had it, Sun-Times had it, that she is the person who had complained about a worker in Speaker Madigan's political operation, Kevin Quinn. He was let go. This was one of the hits that the Madigan political organization has taken on the question of, you know, treatment of women staffers. And anyway, Elena Hampton said, and then the latest one was when Tim Mapes, the longtime chief of staff, faced some complaints from an advocate who had worked with him, and Tim Mapes ended up resigning. Was that just last week? And so the executive director of the party is open. The speaker has announced that all 18 female members of the Democratic State Central Committee, plus I think four other women, are going to be, and Senator Dick Durbin said he suggested this to Madigan, but it's an all-women panel that is looking to figure out how to replace the executive director. We'll see what happens.
Well-known female legislators expressed interest, or former,
right,
soon to be former.
Well, she's still in the legislature, Letitia Wallace, and she, of course, was Daniel Biss's running mate. She's state
gave
representative.
Gave up her House seat for that campaign.
Right, right. Yeah, she's not running for re-election because you can't run for both that and lieutenant governor. She lost the lieutenant governor primary. And but she also expressed interest in possibly being executive director of the party. And another name mentioned is Deshauna Forney, and she used to work for the party and now works for People's Gas and North Shore Gas up in the Chicago area. She's longtime lobbyist, longtime state house person, and from Springfield. So that's just, we will see where the party goes with that. Meanwhile, I mentioned Kevin Quinn, who got clearly bad publicity when Elena Hampton first came out and revealed some of the text messages that he had sent her, continuing to want to go out on dates and saying she was hot, etc., when she said she wanted to have a professional relationship and these were unwelcome. Well, Mr. Quinn just this week put out something he called The Truth. It was several pages saying, basically defense of himself, saying that I was never Elena Hampton's boss and some things have been misrepresented. I don't know what this exactly adds to the mix, but it continued to show that there are perhaps two sides to things. And I think just by seeing some comments online, I'm not sure it helps the party look great when someone who continued to go after somebody for a dating relationship she didn't want is now defending himself in this way, but we'll see where that goes. It's a difficult time in the Me Too movement.
You had mentioned Tim Mapes, you know, resignation, and he had been the chief of staff for Speaker Madigan's legislative office as well.
Right.
And then there was some news this week about the new chief of staff making some personnel changes in the wake of the issues that had been raised.
Well, that is Jessica Basham, and she had been on staff. And she, along with Speaker Madigan, announced that they are looking to hire a human resources director and an equal employment opportunity officer for the stated goal of fair, equitable, and unbiased work environment for the 200 employees in the speaker's office on the government side. So again, we will see how those jobs get filled. And the idea, certainly with the human resources director, is there have been these comments from particularly women who have had problems with members of the legislature or other staffers. Where do we go for an unbiased ear to bring our complaints if something wrong is happening? The idea is that a HR director would be someone, even though they work for the speaker, would not be like his chief of staff.
Right.
It would be removed a bit with perhaps the idea that you could, you know, get your complaint registered, get it handled sincerely, and not be giving it to someone so close to the speaker that it's like giving it to the speaker himself.
Right, and having the procedure. Several people have made the point that, you know, in the private sector, certainly a company of 200 people would probably have these right. kinds of positions. And Doug, actually, as a side note, 200, some people have seen some chatter online about people expressing surprise at that, but what kinds of positions are covered by that?
Well, you have staff support for the lawmakers themselves when they're in town. Remember, they right. do spend a considerable amount of time each year in Springfield. They are certainly not in a position to answer their phones all day and
yes.
also conduct legislative business. You also have the staff members who perform invaluable service. Remember that there are literally thousands of bills introduced each year, and as much as people might want lawmakers to read every one of them, there is no possible way they can. That's what the staffers are paid to do. They have areas of expertise like education or environment or criminal law. They go over these bills with a fine-tooth comb. They produce these reports called bill analyses that compile or compress the bill into its essential points. And the lawmakers have access to this, and they can, when a bill comes up for consideration or debate, they can look at these things and they say, these are the groups who are for it, these are the groups who are against it, these are the reasons why, this is what the bill does.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those people are highly skilled, and they're not as well paid as they would be in the private sector. And frankly, a number of them eventually leave for private sector jobs that are still involved with government, you know, such as lobbying services and what have you. But still, you know, you need these kind of people to make the place go.
All right. And then finally today, some new movement on the governor's race with some ads that, you know, the governor talking about ads he intends to start running, and J.B. Pritzker putting out an ad that hits a new theme we hadn't heard before.
Right. Well, J.B. Pritzker, you know, Governor Rauner has rarely talked over time about what's going on in Washington, because he knows that in Illinois, Trump was not the winner, and he has to go toward independents and even some Democrats who are upset with their own Democrats who might vote for the Republicans. So he doesn't
mention. Yeah, he was very popular in certain parts of Illinois.
That's right, in southern Illinois, and it was, I believe it was in southern Illinois where the governor said that he was proud of what's been going on in Washington, D.C., and there's good things happening. So the Pritzker campaign used that clip intermittently, having the governor, you know, standing up saying that same phrase, where they would show some of the things that have been most controversial about President Trump, like when he said there were good people on both sides of, you know, the kind of alt-right march in, where was that?
Charlottesville.
Charlottesville. Things like that, that are very controversial. So the Pritzker campaign is doing what it can to tie Governor Rauner to President Trump. And then Governor Rauner, well, he's been running a lot of ads, as we know, from commercial TV watchers, of the tape-recorded conversations between then-Governor Rod Blagojevich and J.B. Pritzker years ago, talking about, you know, this and that deal. Again, not illegal, but sound terrible. Like, hey, if it opens up, you could name me state treasurer, and that's the one I want. And then the Tribune reported today that, I guess, Rauner has said that There'll be a lot of, it looks like there'll be more ads, perhaps with governors or officials from other states thanking the dysfunctional Democrats in Illinois for, you know, stealing our jobs, as there was an ad early in the campaign of Rauner during the primary season where he had surrounding governors saying, thank you, Mike Madigan, for, you know, blocking Bruce Rauner's fine reforms. One of them, however, turned a little embarrassing for the governor because it was Eric Greitens, who was governor of Missouri and has since resigned in his own sex and political scandal.
Yeah, I doubt he'll be appearing anymore.
Yeah, so we'll see. But again, before J.B. Pritzker, Bruce Rauner was the richest person that has ever run for and won governor in Illinois. Pritzker is worth more than Rauner. Both of them are going to run lots of ads. And, of course, Pritzker's been running the ad talking about the failures of the governorship, a nice montage of news reports of bad things happening in state government under Rauner and asking, isn't 4 years enough?
Right. So, yeah, this week at least two new themes coming out, you know, to supplement the Blagojevich tapes and the alleged failures. So who knows what we will have in the coming weeks.
As
you noted,
wait.
That, you know, it's they've got plenty of money to spend, and I honestly don't think we'll see a lull between now and November.
Unfortunately, not.
Yeah, I think both sides have to watch out for, you know, voter fatigue, and if people think that they're laying it on too thick or bothering them too much. But so, you know, there may be a few days here and there. But, you know, November is coming soon, and neither one wants to lose advantage. So.
Right.
And plus, we also, people who read their phones and their computers, social media is the new beachhead in all of these wars. And we're, you know, there's constant ads there from both sides and from other candidates as well.
Exactly. Even in some of the games you play online, you're just going to find your political ads.
Sometimes you read your favorite neighborhood local newspaper website and you see, you know, what they call strip ads on the side or at the top from one candidate or another. And we will see more of those, too.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to Under the Dome. We will be back next week with the latest things that have happened in the Capitol and the political arena. You can get us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. If you have an Alexa, you can also ask her to play us. Thanks for listening, and talk to you next week.